Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the ICANN Accessibility Task Force call on Monday, the 24th of November, 2014, at 1800 UTC. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langdonor, Greg Shayton, Judith Hellerstein, Glenn McKnight, Gunella Asprink, Alan Greenberg. We have apologies from Olivier Crepin-LeBlanc. From staff, we have Sylvia Vivanco, Joe Catapano, and myself, Kathy Schnitt. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. And back over to you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Kathy. This is Cheryl for the transcript record. And I want to thank each and every one of you for making this now regular call. We're going to continue with a little and often approach as we move on with our work. But I particularly wanted to respect the fact that Gunella, who did not want to attend at this somewhat unearthly hour here in Australia, has agreed to join the rest of you in this call. The majority did rule, but we did particularly want Gunella to join us today, and I'm very glad that she's got herself, oh dear, out of bed very, very early to keep the rest of you happy. So what we're also going to do at the end of the call is discuss with Gisela's assistance some somewhat more humane timing so we can share the pain, including for the Antipodeans. So with that, thanks to you all noted, and thanks, of course, to staff to get us all organised, and I know that Laura's joined us. Thank you for joining, Laura. You are integral, of course, to our work, and we have a couple of action items, of course, that we are now going to move on to, and some of those you will see in your, if you're in the Adobe Connect room, you will be able to see listed. I apologise now to all those of you who have, particularly staff here, that is Sylvia and Gisela, who have completed some of their action items. When I copied them from the action item page from the Los Angeles meeting onto our agenda, they hadn't been ticked. I have in fact modified the agenda page on the wiki to reflect those that are completed, but the captured document that Kathy's kindly got us looking at on screen has not been updated, and Sylvia has noted she's ticked all the AIs completed. So with this, let's move on to a quick review of the action items out of our last meeting, and I believe I'll toss to Sylvia to take us through any that she's got to do with. First of all, obviously, Gisela has already sent out the doodle to coordinate our regular calls now, which will be running once every 3 weeks. And we will come back to that action item a little later in the call as we do a minor modification. The work groups to continue with the SWOT and SMART analysis. Some of you have had the time, the energy and the inclination to do a bit more on that, but more does need to be done, so we will leave that action item open. Sylvia has set up the page with the three child pages, and thank you very much for that, Sylvia. That allows us to get in and get those edits done as we have some thought and some input onto it from each and every one of us. And Sylvia is also, I believe you've finished your last action item, which is the capture and replicate. Would you wish to speak to that before I go back to the action item on me? Sylvia, over to you.
Hello, Cheryl. Thank you. Yes. What I did is I put all the brainstorming session that we had some papers, and I took the papers with me and put them in a table format. I don't know if you, Kathy, can put it on the screen perhaps so we can look at it. It's just the result of our brainstorm session in two big tables. Let's see, I'm trying to pull this I think, Kathy, if you can put it there. You can look at it together. I'm looking at it now on my screen. It's chart one, it's accessibility working group. So we have a stock take DNS industry and access training. Yes, it's coming up. There you go. Okay. And the second chart is the SWOT analysis. So we have two charts there where I put the brainstorming session, so the main points. And then I created three pages, SMART, SWOT, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and existing priorities. They are ready for us to start putting all the content. So that's basically it, Cheryl. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Sylvia, Cheryl, for the record, because that making sense of our flat pack scribbles from our workshop and getting it into a neat semblance of order is quite a feat, and we appreciate this work, and it's given us now a good foundation for each and every one of us to start working with, and we do need to review it. What I'd like to do in today's call, of course, is come back at our next action item, our next agenda item, and go into that into some greater detail. Okay. If we can now then just return to the final outstanding action item, and this comes from the presentation. And thanks, Laura, for being here, that Laura gave in Los Angeles, where she was bringing us up to date on the great work forward that ICANN staff are planning and the mechanisms by which they're going to bake in to the basic structure of everything ICANN does, how they're going to approach certain aspects of accessibility. And to that end, the proposal was to have a small advisory group to work directly with staff. We had an item on me to follow up with ISOC San Francisco chapter to see whether the visually impaired member there would like to participate in the advisory group, Ganella having made the point that having some diversity of people who have real life experience and expertise would be an advantage. Now, I have not heard back, which concerns me greatly because that makes me think that what has probably happened is the message I sent through via the executive of ISOC San Francisco chapter may not have got on. So whilst I did, and so I guess I can not kind of tick the box that I followed up, I want to leave that open, and I want to ask if Ganella or someone else has a direct contact that I can follow up directly with. I want to just give one additional effort on this. And if not, if it is in fact that she is not interested, that the message did get through via the chapter, because I am a member of San Francisco chapter. Thank you, Judith. I will email her directly. I appreciate that. I would also suggest then that failing this, that if she isn't interested, that or unavailable, that perhaps we could ask Ken, who I know has just joined us recently. Ken, what we're trying to do is get people, just two people basically at this stage, to act as advisors to ICANN staff as they put their accessibility planning together, and we have the ability to reach out to a couple of people, preferably in a suitable time zone as well. And so Ken, if we can't get hearing impaired on the agenda, I'd be very surprised if you wouldn't mind offering some advice on this in this area directly via the two we've put forward. I would think that would be a good thing, but it's failing if we do not get visually impaired. On the table, can I suggest that you may be prevailed upon to step up, but we'll follow that up between now and our next meeting. Thank you for sharing those that link, Ben, with the pictures from the Singapore meeting. So that's our action items, which took slightly longer than they should have, but if I can also ask Kathy or Sylvia to capture that email and details, please, for my directly following up. Let's now move on to the exciting part of today. And the exciting part of today, of course, is the review of the work we have done. And this is going to be the bulk of today's meeting, looking at what you've got in front of you, where you want to take it in terms of the strengths and weaknesses, in terms of the advantages and priorities. I would like to suggest that we may consider, this is just a proposal, and one of the things I'd like you to start having a conversation about today is whilst we can discuss what we've done as a committee of the whole, I think perhaps we need to form a small subcommittee to take this and make it into a particular paper or document, something that can be then handed on to ICANN and ICANN staff so it can form more of an advisory. So we'll come back to that proposal towards the end of our conversation. Now, let's have the floor open. You have a good amount of the work that was done captured. There will be some nuances and some depth and colour that many of you will want to give each of these sections. Now is the time and opportunity to bring those forward to the committee of the whole. And we will do our best to capture it, and I suspect, Sylvia, you might be in a good position to take some of the notes and perhaps work out where it can be placed into this excellent template that you have created for us here. I am also aware that, of course, not everybody who is on the call today was in the room in Los Angeles when this work was done. So to that end, I think it might be appropriate when we're talking of each of these charts, if we're very, very clear about how the analysis was done and what the intentions were. Now, one thing, and I did point that out on the wiki site with the SMART analysis. We're all pretty comfortable with SWOT analysis and what they mean. On the SMART analysis that was done, and we did a SMART and a SWOT in two small subgroups in Los Angeles, the T in SMART, the discussion was based that T meant tangible or tactics. And whilst that's fine, and the work progressed quite well on that, I just want to remind you that most SMART analysis uses timely as T. But we can continue on with tactics and tangible, but we might also want to add a little bit of timeliness as well in that SMART analysis as we go through. Let's open this conversation up to the group. The floor is open. Who'd like to go first? The only one forgiven is Glenn because he's got no audio. There you go. Over to you, Gunilla. Thank you.
Well, Hello, this is Gonala Strength for the Record, and I hope my voice isn't sounding too sleepy. I was at the LA meeting remotely, so while I was there, I would participate, but I've looked at the charts, and one of the things, you know, Cheryl was talking about the T in SMART, and one of them is looking for an accessibility champion. And that would seem to be a good priority to consider, because once we have an accessibility champion as a person who is a senior person in ICANN, it might be an ICANN board member, it might be a senior ICANN staff member, that person could then cut across and ensure that accessibility is considered and remembered and acted upon in a number of different ways. So I wanted to highlight that one as a starting point. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Gunilla. I appreciate that. And I think, if I might share off the record, part of my thinking in terms of proposing putting this work now into a briefing document is to facilitate exactly that sort of outcome. Okay, I cannot believe the rest of you don't have anything to say about the SMART and the SWOT analysis. Judith, perhaps you should come off mute, and we won't mind hearing your typing. And I know you also were there remotely, and it would be perhaps useful to hear some of what you would like to say about our SMART and SWOT analysis. Over to you, Judith.
Yeah, Judith Hellestein for the Record. I haven't had a chance, as you just, it was just recently posted, to review the table that Sylvia put up. So that's why I haven't mentioned anything.
Okay. Sorry to put you on the spot, but I definitely want to make sure that everyone's voice is heard here. Okay. Can I ask then, Ken, over to you, please. We're not hearing you, Ken, if you want to check you're not muted.
I'll check with him, Cheryl.
Thank you. Kathy's going to work with you, Ken, just to make sure whatever technical issue is annoying us in the Adobe Connect room is sorted. So whilst we're waiting for Ken, the floor is open. Would anyone else like to bring any concepts or criticism forward? It was a small subgroup who worked on this SWOT and SMART analysis.
This is Ken. Can you hear me now?
Perfectly, Ken. The floor is yours.
All right. Sorry about that. So thanks. I have to apologize because I haven't been in all the meetings, so I'm not completely up to speed. I haven't reviewed the documents. But so I'm looking at the SWOT analysis, and I think one of the opportunities we talked about early on was the registrars and the ability for the registrars to get kind of best practices for accessibility out to their customers. Is that something we're planning to address in a later phase? I remember we talked about, you know, some things would wait to a later phase. Is this one of them?
Ken, and I do apologize, Cheryl, for the record. I just typed Glenn's name in for some reason when I meant to type Ken into the chat when I said good point. I was going to say good point, Kent, that's something Ganella is focused on. I'm going to answer you by saying it certainly is a priority, but not necessarily a making ICANN as accessible as it can be priority. One of the conversations we probably need to have is how best practice models and how ICANN as a best practice model can influence this. But it certainly doesn't preclude it putting that as a particular line item for us. We had, of course, and I see Ganella's hand up, also had it as a an intent to run with, and I'm going to now hand over to Ganella and then come back to you, Ken. Go ahead, Ganella.
Yes, I mean, that helps a lot. It makes sense that we're focused on ICANN accessibility first.
Over to you, Ganella.
Hi, Ganella, thanks for the record. I see that the domain name industry is an endpoint, and a very important endpoint to focus on accessibility. There is, however, so much for ICANN to work on, as we have seen with the SWOT and the SMART analysis and the previous list of actions. But I don't think that precludes keeping in mind that ICANN is really there for the domain name industry, and if there are particular industry members who are interested in working on this, then we should certainly encourage that. I mean, I can think of two, CGI.br and also Auth Registry. And there may be others. I mean, I was talking to someone from Auth Registry just last week who was indicating to me, what more can we do? How can we go about it? So there definitely is interest. And if we can keep that as a priority item while we are still working through all of the different actions for ICANN itself would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Ganella. Cheryl, for the record. Ken, is your hand still up? I'll come back to you, Ken. Judith, over to you. Judith, you might be muted. We're not hearing you. Kathy, can you assist, please?
I certainly can.
Just while we're sorting out the audio, gremlins are here today. You will have noticed, and I'll read to the record, that I had my great big green tick up with what Ganella was feeding into the conversation in response to Ken, that you do need to keep that as a priority. Judith, do we have you now?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Perfectly. Thank you, dear. Over to you.
Okay. So I wasn't at LA, but I just wanted to find out, where does the issue of captioning come in? We talked about that as being one of our at-large issues, and I wanted to know where this comes in and how are we going to, what work are we going to be doing on making sure that everyone can see what we're talking about and read.
Cheryl, for the record, thank you for that, Judith. And Laura, I hope you've got your microphone connected. Judith, you might need to mute. I'm getting a bit of feedback. Captioning, of course, is one of the POD capabilities that the Adobe Connect, the popular throughout ICANN collaborative space for many of its meetings, including all importantly, policy development, but also its public meetings and webinars is using. And as you know, Judith and Glenn, the Technology Task Force at large operator has, of course, looked at some of the pluses and technically challenging, in some cases, aspects of getting the captioning pod working across all platforms. But this really, I think, comes back to something that Laura might want to respond to, because making that a priority and getting around and finding solutions to the challenge of having captioning as a standard practice, because we all agree that is what it should be, and you don't have to be in many international meetings to note that it is becoming the industry norm. So ICANN does have to recognise that it is essential, as you say, Judith. Captioning is not a problem at all, but there is, unfortunately, Judith, a couple of the platforms where Adobe Connect, the pod that takes the captioning, does not function. And it does not function across some of the mobile platforms, and it does not, at this stage, function if it's a Linux operating system. So there are a couple of, yes, I know it, you tested the pod and it works great, but I have three computers open in front of me right now, and they all use different operating systems, but two of them are not Microsoft. And I would only be able to see the captioning pod if we were running it in this room now on the Microsoft operating system. So there's a couple of things that need to be sorted. That said, I'm going to push this to Laura, because this is exactly the sort of focus that has to be taken at the appropriate level within ICANN for its communication policy. And it's exactly why we need, as Laura has outlined, to have specific advice coming in via a couple of our representatives as advisors. Laura, are you able to take this on, if not on notice?
I'll check with Laura as well.
Thank you. We do have gremlins in our audio today. Judith is pointing out that you tested the captioning first pod in Adobe Connect, and yes, that has been pointed out to Laura. We've done that with the Technology Task Force, and I will come back. Perhaps we should make that an action item on me yet again to go back to the Technology Task Force and get their assurance that the captioning first pod in the Adobe Connect, recognising that there has been an upgrade to the version 9 of Adobe Connect, is functional across all platforms, including mobile. And I think it's the problem is not so much with captioning first, but rather something to do with the Adobe Connect and the way it is treating the pod in some platforms. So, Judith, we do need to solve this. And I'm very aware of how captioning first works across most of these international events, because I personally rely on it, which is why I know only one of my three machines operates it. So let's make that, if you don't mind, staff, if Laura's having audio issues, that's a follow-up for Laura and our new advisors, but also it's something we need to come back to at our next meeting and see what has happened and what can happen. There is also the action item for me to go back to the Technology Task Force and see what the state of play is now with the version 9. I'm going to go to Judith, and then to Greg, and then to Gunilla. Back to you, Judith.
No, I addressed my... This is Judith Hellestine for the record. I addressed my issue with you before on the chat, so I don't have any issue anymore.
Okay, thank you. Put your hand down.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Greg, over to you.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you. Greg Shatton for the record. Sorry for not having participated much in this group up until this point. In listening to this, I was wondering if it might be worthwhile to engage directly in a dialogue with Adobe to see if there is more that can be done with their product that in order to allow captioning and any other issues perhaps that we might think are germane, since I presume ICANN is a reasonably significant consumer of Adobe Connect services. Also mention that we have participation by Adobe executive, or at least Adobe legal, in the GNSO. So we have at least not to saddle J. Scott Evans with more responsibilities than he already has, but as an Adobe person, he may not be the right person to have, ultimately to talk to, but he could possibly, grease the wheels or ooch things along if something doesn't happen the way it should. It just seems like this may be something that it could be more, it could be native to a future version of Adobe Connect, or perhaps it's native to one of Adobe Connect's competitors and that can be demonstrated to them. But it just seems to me that focusing on accessibility that I can for a lot of people at ICANN, between the meetings, Adobe Connect is the real-time ICANN that they know. So that's just my thought, and I'll stop blathering on. Thank you.
Cheryl, for the record, Greg, you never blather on, I can assure you. And indeed, one of the reasons I wanted to pop it back into Laura's court is, of course, she's exactly at the right level of ICANN. To be following up directly with Adobe, because ICANN is a significant consumer of their product, and believe me, I'm quite sure we'll be able to get an appropriate name at the right level out of Jay Scott if need be. So yes, I think what we need to do is just make sure that the technology task force checks if there is still a problem, because the captioning pod is in fact native to Adobe Connect and has been for a couple of versions now. It is a standard plug-and-play option. But there had been a reasonable testing of it, a very successful testing of it, but there was a couple of minor glitches on some of the operating systems, and we certainly need it to be a cross-platform. Since then, however, I believe there has been an update on Adobe Connect, and in fact what it's done is make one of my machines unable to even operate Adobe Connect at all, but that's another story. Because the flash player is no longer compatible. So I'm going to punt it firstly to the technology task force to do what they're tasked to do, which is double check all these things, and then based on what they can give back to us and Laura, suggest that Laura becomes a much more assertive consumer of the Adobe Connect product. Greg, is your hand still up? Am I still on the call?
I'll check.
I'm assuming I am. Laura's typing. And I'm going to come back to you, Greg, if your hand is still up, and go to Gunilla. Gunilla, over to you.
Thanks, Cheryl. This is Gunilla for the record. I support Greg's suggestion, and certainly once Laura has got information about the captioning issue within Adobe, and we've heard from the technology task force about how the pod works and where it doesn't work. Once we've collected all those facts, then it would be really good to go to Adobe directly within the ICANN representative and then maybe to other key persons within Adobe, because Adobe very well understands accessibility. They have worked in other areas of our company on accessibility, and this particular issue with Adobe Connect should really be part of supplying products in this case to the US government under Section 508, where there would be particular accessibility guidelines. So I think if Section 508 is mentioned to Adobe when we get to that stage, that would be advantageous, because that has to do with US government public procurement policies. So is it worthwhile having an action item about that progressive way we should move on this issue? And then I'm asking that as a question, and then I have a couple of other suggestions too.
Gunilla, thanks for that. I'm going to get you to come back to your suggestions in just one moment, but I, sure off the record, just wanted to point out the very important issue that Judith is bringing up in the chat. That is, of course, having the capability with the pod means one thing, but you also then have to resource, and Judith is quoting the issue of funding. And her assessment is the costs are around $130, I'm assuming that's US, an hour, plus 18 an hour for a transcript. Well, of course, and that's for English. Now, we already have in language services, Judith, transcripts coming off our MP3s, not only in English, but in all of the UN languages, plus Portuguese as required, and other languages as needs be. So the transcript aspect is something I believe that ICANN is already doing an extraordinarily good job of, including real-time transcription, which of course they're providing for their major meetings as well. And I understand that the captioning in terms of the advantage of using Adobe Connect in real time is a competitive market as well. You said captioning first costs are this, and I suspect there are a number of offers, and of course the it may not be impossible, of course, to have ICANN look at those alternatives when the time comes. But it would be something that would have to be budgeted for, and it would therefore be something that would have to have some guidelines in the languages services protocols. Now, at the moment, for a multiple language system, which we often use within ICANN, there is a minimum threshold, a minimum number of people needing to use a particular language channel for meetings. So it may mean that there will be a threshold designed into some meetings as opposed to all meetings, because obviously there will be meetings where captioning just has to be a standard issue, and the main international meetings, certain informational webinars, and indeed some of the policy development processes might be argued for having captioning as a standard. But there will be protocols we will have to put together for all of this. Gunilla, your hand is still up, so you have right to reply to move on to some of your extra issues. Then I'm going to go to Judith and then Greg. Gunilla, back to you.
Thanks, Cheryl. I'm keen to move on the captioning issue, as I stated before. So, but I will move on to a couple of key issues. And the first one is stop taking, and the second one is web accessibility. With the stock taking, it seems like that is fundamental to moving ahead, so that we know and ICANN knows what is happening within ICANN on accessibility, what staff are doing, are there discussions in other working groups and so forth. And that shouldn't be a huge exercise, but I would suggest that we have an action item to actually start that work in whatever way we decide is appropriate. If it's a small subgroup working with staff, or if we can hand that over to staff, but I would really like to see that starting to move. So that's number one. And number two, we heard at the last meeting that Laura was starting an advisory group on web accessibility, and ICANN is really moving ahead on this, which I think is fantastic, and some people might say about time. And I'd just like to hear where we're up to. Are we waiting for that disability representation from San Francisco ISOC chapter, or are there any other delays? It would be good to hear progress. Now, I've just seen that Sylvia's asked about clarification of my action item.
Perhaps you could type that in, Cheryl, for the record, Penelope. Perhaps you could type that clarification of your AI in. Penelope, is
sure.
there anything else
okay.
before I go to Judith?
Oh, that's fine, thanks.
Okay. Judith, I'm taking you next because yours is a clarification on the captioning. While you have the microphone, Judith, if you could also respond to Alan's question in terms of time delays in the chat. Thank you. Over to you.
This is Judith Helstein for the record. I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. Okay, just wanted to make sure we didn't have any gremlins. Okay, so on the captioning, so how captioning works for people who were not on the technology task force and did not see and have not reviewed the replay of that session is that caption first for the captioning pod is just a, you cannot have that without employing one of the services, either of the Adobe Connect or of the caption first pod. So those people are remote, but they need to be typed in, and they need to have like the staff access to the to the Adobe Connect to the talk, and so that, and they do real time transcriptions on captioning. What she was talking about is after the real time ones, you then sometimes they don't, things are spelled incorrectly or names are not given or it's unclear who is speaking because they haven't identified themselves. Those are the corrections that are made on the transcript. And so it's just it's a correction of what's already created for that. It has nothing to do with the transcriptions that appear later on. And the transcriptions are not necessarily all of the Adobe Connect. They are saved on the Adobe chats or other things. So there are two different issues. I only know the price. Glenn and I are the only ones in that we know the price and caption first because they told us. Each one has different prices. So they only offer right now English and Spanish, but they could offer other languages if we need them. And these are different from the interpreters that we have already. So if we have a Spanish language call and we want captioning in both English and in Spanish, and we want actual trans captioning and not machine captioning, then we would need to have both a English captioner and a Spanish captioner. Now, the Spanish captioner would work with the Spanish language part on Adobe, so that when we have the Spanish interpreters, they will be captioning what those Spanish interpreters are saying. Same with the English. There's also a machine translation, but that is it's decent, but it's not pretty good. There is no delay on the captioning, really. I would suggest that you review, Alan, the Technology Task Force call, and you'll see we've tested a whole range of those things, and there isn't a delay on it at all. It's pretty much immediate, which is also why we like the Caption First plan pod better than the Adobe pod, because it had less delay, and it also had full word by word as opposed to paragraph or sentence by sentence, which is what the Adobe pod had. So I think a lot of these questions will be answered by reviewing that call. And I think that answers the other questions, but let me know if anyone has other ones.
Thank you, Judith. Cheryl, for the record. I'm going to come back to a couple of your points, but I wanted to go to Greg first. Greg, over to you.
Hi, Greg Shatton again. Thank you, Cheryl. Following up again, still on the Adobe Connect accessibility issue, was going to ask about the Adobe Connect pod versus other pods, but I see you are all way ahead of me on that, which is great. Was also just going to mention that in terms of Section 508, that's of concern to Adobe, that wouldn't be the prime concern since we're a private, not a government customer, but the ADA has its own, as I'm sure you all know, has its own set of requirements, which are in the process of a very slow process of changing to be consistent with and actually to adopt the W3C AA standards as standards that will be enforced in the future, probably not for another year or two. It's a process that has been grinding along. But interestingly, the Department of Justice has been out in force. I think they're as frustrated as anybody else with the pace of change at the regulatory level, and they have been going out and bringing cases and acting as amicus in privately brought cases regarding various types of accessibility issues. And they have been demanding settlements that include AA compliance, and have also, at the last few settlements they've looked at, most recently with Peapod, which is a big online grocery delivery website owned by Royal Ahold Stop and Shop. There are behavioral aspects in terms of having internal administrators and reports, and it's a much more proactive set of requirements than DOJ has previously been seeing. So I'm not sure who, you know, is advising Adobe at large about accessibility compliance, but the last thing any private company wants to be having its problems list is being hit up by the DOJ or a private plaintiff's lawyer, even one of the well-meaning ones as opposed to the ones that are just out to make a buck, to get their house in order on DOJ's time schedule and or a court's time schedule and not their own. So 508 is an interesting thing, and not irrelevant, but it's really only the tip of the iceberg for Adobe. And just one last point, I went to Adobe's FAQ page on Adobe Connect, and they very helpfully have a question. Is Adobe Connect for e-learning content accessible and Section 508 compliant? What is a virtual classroom? I'm not sure why they put these two questions together. Then they proceed to answer only the virtual classroom question and do not in any way answer the question about Section 508 compliance. That's really unhelpful. So it's a frequently asked but apparently never answered question.
Cheryl, for the record, Brent, you always make me smile. You are a pleasure to work with and a font of knowledge. And I know you're very busy at the moment with this little IANA oversight transition thingy that some people are talking about, but don't think you're going to escape doing us a little briefing paper when you come up for air.
Absolutely not. I'm actually working very actively with some clients on advising them on accessibility issues for websites, and my head is in that, and it has to stay in it because the advice that I give my clients is ongoing as the regulatory scene changes. So I'm more than happy to give the benefit of somebody else's of what I've learned on somebody else's dime.
Cheryl, for the record, it's one of the joys of working with you, Greg. You are genuinely a good lawyer. Really appreciate it. And we will
thank
you,
Cheryl,
for a little bit of input in the 2015 space, I think, though, because we don't want to burn you out as a volunteer. Altruism dream double that you have. Judith, your hand is still up. Back to you, Judith.
I didn't have any other questions, and I forgot to take down my hand.
Okay, not a problem. I did, however, Cheryl, for the record, want to come back to one or two of the points you were making, Judith, but I also see that time is our enemy here. One of the things I thought might be worthwhile, however, is clearly the matter of captioning is an enormously important one. So let's make sure that as the task force as a whole has not had the benefit of going through what the small subcommittee went through with the technology task force. I'm going to modify the action item on me to reach out to the technology task force and get back to ourselves and directly to Laura. And I'm going to see whether or not, if not our next, the following meeting, which will be the first one in 2015, what we might do is devote a good amount of time to make sure that we have a demonstration and work through and see for ourselves and then have a fully informed discussion. And we might even get someone from Adobe there as well. So that's a follow-on action item from my earlier action item, please, Sylvia, and I can sort that out with you later. In the few minutes remaining, then on the... And Judith, you may need to mute yourself again. I am keen to see about getting some small subcommittees, which... have a degree of specialty. I think we've got Greg firmly gathered into leading the legal advice one. But we do immediately need to put our workshop work, our prioritisation work, into some semblance of a document. And I'm not going to necessarily ask you to put yourselves forward now, although you are welcome to do so. It would be good if we had two, if not three, people who would step forward to put forward a draft for the committee's consideration. Please let me be clear on authorship here. You are holding the pen on behalf of the whole of the task force. So you would be looking at our prioritisation and our workshop materials and putting forward a simple, plain language draft advice on what we think ICANN could and should do in what order. and that will then be able to be used by Laura and by others in ICANN, debated with us, discussed with us, and looked at in their future planning. I think Laura, Gunnar, I just noticed what you put up in the chat. I think Laura talked about the RFP for that being delayed, but she didn't give an exact time. So what we need to do now is put a call, and we'll put a call to the list, if you don't mind, please, Sylvia, for one or two people to step forward to hold the pen on our outcomes from prioritisation discussions, and we will put a end of, let's say it would need to be available for the task force to review so we can decide at our next meeting what edits need to happen, if any, before it has been formally passed on. All right? We will need to make other small subcommittees in the future, but we'll leave that to the future, as we will leave the other things on our agenda, with the exception of the next meetings. And for this, I am going to hand over to Gisela, because she's got some proposed dates. Over to you, G.
Thank you, Cheryl. Gisela here for the transcript. I have updated the agenda pod on the right in the Adobe Connect. The decision for the accessibility working group was to hold a meeting every 3 weeks. I believe that this time of 1800 UTC is not very favorable for especially Gunnella and even Cheryl, so we can look at a slightly later time. My proposal was to send a doodle out and put the specific dates in. If we can just quickly run through the dates. The next meeting would be on Monday, the 15th of December. After that, 3 weeks later, is Monday, the 5th of January. Now, I am aware that we've got a festive break and lots of people only start work again on the 5th of January. So if that's too soon after the Christmas break, we could do Monday, the 12th of January. If we do the 5th of January, we can have another call on Monday, the 26th of January, prior to the Singapore meeting. If we do the call on the 12th of January, then we will probably only meet again at in Singapore for our face-to-face meeting. So that is the suggestion to put to the working group, and if everyone agrees, what we need to decide on is Monday, the 5th of January. And after that, I'm happy to send a doodle with each of these dates, and then we can actually set the preferred time on those dates.
And Cheryl, for the record, thank you very much for that, Gisela. And I think one of the things we all need to recognise is the art that Gisela puts into this. She looks across all of the meetings, and this is like ICANN-wide, and manages to find slots that is humane. The decision now is, do we run with the 5th and the 26th, which, yes, I do recognise, Gunnella, will be the 27th in Australia, but I, for one, take my one annual holiday over a four-day weekend. However, that's not a problem. Or the 12th. It probably is better, because we would get more meetings in before meeting again face-to-face for those of us who will be available in Singapore. So is there anyone who objects to us meeting on the 5th of January and then the 26th of January, allowing Gisela to then doodle us for humane enough time, somewhere between 19 and 2100 hours, I suspect? I see no objections. In that case, let's go with the 5th and the 26th. And you'll all get a doodle for UTC times somewhere between 1900 and 21 or even 2200 hours. Hope this will suit you all. This will then allow us to have two meetings before the Singapore gathering, and we have a good amount of work to do. Our next meeting will be the 15th of December, and following that, the 5th of January, and then the 26th of January. It's the top of the hour, and I'd like to thank you one and all for the effort and energy you all put in, and particularly for those of you who are going to step forward and pick up the pen or putting together a little document so I can start using. Thank you very much, and bye for now.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference, and at this time, all parties may disconnect.